Thank you, Nancy and the choir, for that powerful song, Power of the Cross. And now we're going to be looking at our scripture this morning, a foreshadowing sacrifice of Christ. When you start with Genesis all the way through Revelations, we see that Christ is proclaimed from his birth all the way to his going to the cross, dying for our sins, being resurrected, and now is seated at the right hand of our Father. And in Genesis chapter 22, it's a familiar passage of Scripture, and you might not think of it as one that would be related to the crucifixion of Christ, but it is. As we look at it this morning, I want to kind of outline this for you and see how different scriptures from Genesis, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Psalms relate about the coming Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. So if you will follow along with me, this will be part one. I'll just be sharing the message on 1 through 6 this morning, and the other part next Sunday. But I want to go ahead and read all 18 verses of Genesis 22, beginning with verse 1, which says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham? And Abraham said, Here am I. He said, Take now your son, your only son," right there, "for God so loved the world that he got his only begotten son." And now God is telling Abraham, "Take your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his son, "Young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and will worship and return to you." Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his dad, his father, and said, "My father." And Abraham said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place which God had laid and told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him, Abraham, from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." The angel said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." In this scripture this morning, as we look, have read it, we see that we're looking at something foretold long before it happened, as some of the others I've shared already in this series. And I want to begin this message by sharing some scriptures from the book of Acts, a familiar passage of scripture also that you have read. And in Acts chapter 8, 31 through 35, we find an account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah 53, which is a message I've shared a couple of weeks ago as well, that is in line with Jesus' crucifixion. And when asked as an important question, the Bible shares the account as follows. So follow along with me here. The eunuch asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scriptures which we read is shown right here in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 32. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter." Now this is taken from Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip is, and the eunuch is reading this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from him from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does a prophet say this of himself or someone else, other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, I want to add to this the remainder of the scripture, because it goes on through verse 40. As Philip was reading and explaining this passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 53, Philip, in a way, shared it and explained exactly when the eunuch said, "Is this another man or someone else? Is it him or someone else?" And Philip said, "It's about Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah." And as they went along in the chariot, they came to a body of water. And the eunuch said, "What permits me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be saved." And the eunuch said, "I believe." He was saved right there by reading scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of truth. And the Bible says on down in this passage of scripture, Acts chapter 8, that both the eunuch and Philip went into the water. Philip baptized him. They come up out of the water. And the Holy Spirit, it says, snatched Philip away and led him into another direction. Went down to Syria in order that he might preach the gospel even to others. So what an amazing passage of scripture this is as well. So when we see this, a eunuch asked Philip who this person was in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, who was led as a sheep or a lamb to the slaughter. And Philip told him the man was Jesus Christ, the one who we're talking about right now in this passage of scripture, also in relation to what Abraham and Isaac is going through. Now, Philip taught him the man was Jesus Christ. This morning, we will discuss the lamb being led to the slaughter in, here in Genesis 22. Now, being our focal text, I just want to share these others in relation to which goes along with chapter 22 of Genesis. And Genesis 22, being our focal text, is what I would call a hidden allegory, and it's being brought to light, one of the foreshadowing of Jesus being led to the cross for the ultimate sacrifice. So the eunuch and Philip is another key part of this passage of scripture. Now, the Lord began his work of salvation. You think about this. As soon as mankind committed the very first sin. And we know that was in the Garden of Eden. And again, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God provided a way right there in that verse for man to have salvation. Now, the reason why we is because the Lord desires a relationship with each one of us. And the scriptures are very clear all the way from Genesis to Revelation how a person can be saved. Gives all kind of examples. So God knew ahead of time that he would and must sacrifice his only begotten son in order to atone the sins so that we would not be separated from him eternally. Now, let's, in Genesis 22, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 this morning. A sacrifice was required. It is required in order for man be saved from his sins. So verses 1 and 2 in Genesis chapter 22 speaks about Abraham's only son. And in John 3:16, it says, God's only begotten son. In Genesis 12:2, the Lord had made a promise. And you think about this, made a promise to Abraham that he would bless him and make him a great nation. And he did, and he has, and he will continue to do this. But here, God asked him to sacrifice his only son to give up the way through which the nation would come to the lineage of Jesus Christ. So I want us to notice here in verse 2, take note of this. Actually contains a parallel to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, for it states that Abraham was to take up his only son for a sacrifice. And going to John 3:16, you know, for God so loved his world that he gave his only begotten Son. So, like the Heavenly Father who gave His only one, His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for all mankind, we're going to see that Abraham was willing to give up his one and only Son. So I wanted to show you another parallel. Also, in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, where it reads, "Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord." I'm sorry, wrong one. "Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem at Mount Moab." Now, Genesis 22, verse 2, reveals that the mountain of Isaac's potential sacrifice was located in the land of Moab. Now, therefore, this mountain was probably located at Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem, the very city in which Jesus was crucified. So, Mount Moab is a temple mount, which since Moab was described as a land, Isaac could have been taken to any mountain in that land. He could have been taken anywhere, including Moriah. But even Golgotha, for we know. But the possible parallel is amazing to me. And that is how we read it here. Going back to verse 1, it says that the Lord tested Abraham. Have you ever been tested by the Lord? Yes, we're tested every day for our faith. You see, it's to make us stronger. It's not to make us weaker. But He tests us to see if we're really committed and ready to obey. You think about Abraham willing to sacrifice his only son. But you know, the scripture says that Abraham believed that God would provide. And that's why he called the place where he took his son Isaac to be sacrificed, "God will provide." And then he told his men, the two young servants, "We will be back." He said, "We will be back." He didn't say "I," but "we." You see the faith that Abraham had, and that's why God granted him multiple of generations, because he was obedient to Him in all ways. So, we see here that Abraham was told to offer up his son, but yet he said that he and Isaac would return unto the young man. Abraham had a great faith that deceptive to men are putting on a show. It wasn't at all, but he really believed and Isaac and he would come back. Now, in verse 6, Abraham had had wood and had it to take up the sacrifice. And it says that by faith, that he, and here in verse, well, let me read it better. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise offered up by his only begotten son." Now, Abraham used to demonstrate how faith is on the way. Also, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is a passage of scripture we've often heard also. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So salvation comes by grace through faith. So faith plays a huge role in coming to know Christ. See, that's the faith, the same faith based upon Abraham, because he believed it. He had faith in God, and God had never let Abraham down. He never lets us down. As Brent shared this morning, God is good in every area of our life. He's always working on our behalf. He's always working in advance, ahead of us, preparing the way for us. And as we're going along following the will of God, our faith increases. Our faith is building upon the promises of God. So salvation comes by grace through faith. So faith plays, like I said a few minutes ago, a huge role in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness of our sins, and we are reconciled by God through Jesus Christ. What an amazing scriptures and an example of how God works in not only in the Old Testament, things being foretold, but how our life interacts and intervenes with the things that God promises then, and now it has come true in our life today. Because by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit working within our lives, at one point in your life when you realize that you were a sinner, I was a sinner, the Holy Spirit convicted us of that. It mellowed our heart, sensitized us to the Spirit of God speaking, that we realize, yes, that's me. I'm like that eunuch. I realize, you know, we don't always understand everything about the scriptures. We could be like the eunuch. As we read the scriptures, I don't know. There's many times that I'll read a chapter over and over and over. And then I'll pray, Lord, am I missing something here? And then I'll read it again. And then the Lord begins to reveal to me where I need to be according to the scriptures in my own life. So sometimes we just got to be patient. Sometimes the Lord is testing you and me to see where we are, if we're willing to take time and read and understand scriptures, how it speaks to us. It might speak to me in a different way than it does you, because you're a different place in your life than where I am or where you are as well. So it's amazing how God is able to use His Spirit to utilize and speak to us in a way that it brings about salvation and the power of God, the power of the cross, as the choir just sang a few minutes ago. Now, in verse 6, Abraham had Isaac to bear the wood for his own sacrifice. You think about that. Isaac had to carry his own wood, just as Jesus bore the wood of the cross. Jesus had to carry his cross. And that was normally criminals didn't do that. They did that for them, but they made Christ bear his own cross. And you see the similarities here. Isaac bearing his own wood for the sacrifice, and Jesus bearing the cross for the sacrifice that he paid for our sins. In John 19, verse 17, holds the account of Jesus bearing his cross, telling us that, John chapter 19, verse 17, and he bearing his cross went out to the place called the place of the skull, or Golgotha, or Calvary, which is the Hebrew word for Calvary. So Luke tells us that Jesus carried his cross part of the way, and then afterwards Simon stepped in Luke chapter 23, verse 26, and carried it the rest of the way for him. But let's not miss the fact that both Isaac and Jesus bore the wood of their own sacrifice. You know, we have to bear up our cross, don't we? In our life. We, with the struggles and the things that we go to, we bear our own cross. So sometimes we are carrying our own cross. And the Bible says we have to bear up under our cross. But the Lord is always there with us. Now, Abraham carried the instruments of the sacrifice in his own hands, showing how he held the power of life and death as Isaac's father. And the Heavenly Father holds the power of life. That's the power of the cross that the choir sang about this morning. So it holds the power of life and death in his hands. And he could have rescued Jesus from the agony he faced, but he didn't, for there was a plan and a purpose for all mankind. Now, as we conclude in this message this morning, I want us to think about how faithful Abraham was. He was faithful to God in all his ways. That's why he was counted righteous. Because God promised that a great nation would come from his seed and a lineage, one which would become a blessing to all the people of the world, including every one of us. And that's in Genesis 22:18, the last verse I read this morning. So when the Heavenly Father sacrificed his only begotten Son, now I want you to think about this. He was being faithful to all of us. He was being faithful to you, to me. He was being faithful to his promise. A faithfulness to keep his promise. That's what he did. And he did this by providing a way for people to come into the fellowship with him. Isn't that amazing? If it hadn't been that God kept his promise, just like Abraham kept his promise. See, the testing is in our life every day some way. And we, each and every one of us, go through testing. You know, you probably went through some type of testing this week that stretched you, that made you think. You know, I had a situation this week that stretched me. And I had to fall back upon the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what this is all about. But you do. But give me the strength and knowledge and understanding to see and experience the message you're trying to teach me through this. I didn't understand it at the moment, and I still haven't grasped it all. But I know I will. Because it's a test in our life. It is. If we're not tested, you know, we don't know how we can stand up to the things that come into our life in any given time until we turn it over to the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We turn it over to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't have the strength and understanding and the wisdom. But if I read your word, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will show me and give me the answer I need. It's always been that way. It has always been that way with me. And I know if you think about it and you give time, God time to work out his will and purpose, he'll make it clear and plain. That's why in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And throughout the scriptures and in Revelations and in the Gospels, Jesus says, listen. And when he says listen, we are to pay attention because he has something important to tell us. And we might not get at that moment, just like the disciples. They asked Jesus, what does this mean? What does this mean? And Jesus would say, well, you will know. You will know. Stay with me Be obedient, and I will show you the way. Just like John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's a great promise. Great promise for each one of us. Let us pray. Our Father God, you are an amazing God. Thank you, Lord, for your scripture. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for interacting in our lives and revealing to us at the right time the answer to our prayer or the answer to our question, or showing us through scriptures the faith of others that believed, and maybe they didn't understand, or they may not was able to get the answer at that moment. But Lord, if we will persevere and keep on seeking you, asking you, and knocking on the doors of opportunities, Lord, it will come. It will come. We don't understand the situation, the circumstances that we go through each day or in the past or in the future. But we know that you hold the future. And we can trust you. We can trust you with our lives, because you've never failed us. And because of sin, we encounter all of these circumstances in our life. And we know that sin causes hardships. It causes separation from you. But if we believe in you, just like the eunuch, when Philip said, "Do you believe?" And the eunuch said, "I believe." He was baptized. And Philip went on ministering to others that needed to hear that same message. We need to hear that message day after day after day. Even though we may have trusted you as our personal Savior, we still need to hear that message. It's encouraging and it's uplifting, and it lets us know that your word is true, and we can pass it on and share it with others who need you in their life. Lord, in this invitation today, Lord, just open our hearts and our will to accept and to believe in the impossible things in this life that will come about through your revelation and through your prophecy. Because, Lord, we belong to you. Nothing can separate us from your love. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us